listening to this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, I'm your hometown girl, Shadate, for the North Carolina Reading Service. And this is Sports Illustrated for Kids. For the next half hour, I'll be reading articles from Sports Illustrated for Kids online, sportsforkids.com, and kidsnews.com, the sports edition. So let's get started, okay? Let's begin with Junior NBA Conference provides resources for next generation of basketball stars. The sixth annual Junior NBA Conference recently took place in a virtual setting, giving young basketball players the opportunity to join from wherever to learn more about the game. The conference had a variety of panels with guests like the NBA Commissioner Adam Silver, WNBA Commissioner Kathy Eaglebert, New Orleans Pelicans guard CJ McCollum, and former North Carolina coach Roy Williams. The overall goal of the Junior NBA is to grow the game and to help improve the youth basketball experience for coaches, players, and parents. It helps teach fundamental skills, dribbling, shooting, and passing, and the values of the game, like teamwork, respect, and determination. In addition, the Junior NBA offers a free curriculum available on juniornba.com, covering all levels of the game with 48 practice plans and more than 250 instructional videos featuring NBA and WNBA players that serve as helpful resources for all levels of coaches. We do a lot in terms of making sure our programs are accessible, Candace Haynes, NBA Youth Basketball Development Manager, said. The majority of our junior NBA programs are free, so there are no barriers for entry. We also work closely with school districts to make sure that young people are able to engage with our programs and initiatives. This year's conference theme was Growing the Game Through the Power of Connection and Community. There were many different sections, including the Junior NBA Live or Elite Youth Basketball Development, Her Time to Play, Junior NBA Skill Development Session, Junior NBA Coaches Corner, and many more. Her Time to Play launched in 2018 to grow the number of girls playing basketball, talked about how girls come out to play basketball because it's fun. They also talked about the importance of representation and using your own voice to make a difference. Viva Cress, a high school athlete, talked about how to use social media as a positive, not a negative. You just have to use it as motivation. You have to remind yourself they are only posting their highlights. Haynes talks about what she enjoys most about the Junior NBA Conference. Haynes said her favorite part of the conference is the youth voice from kids like Viva. She also said she hopes to see the Junior NBA Conference grow in the future. But the Junior NBA is focused on growing more than just the event. Last year, the Junior NBA launched the Next Level Mentality Program, which is a series of videos that focuses on decision making, goal setting, and so much more. The Junior NBA also focuses on the importance of leadership, having launched their own youth leadership council called the Junior NBA Court of Leaders in April 2021 to support the development of promising young boys and girls through mentorship opportunities, life skills programming focused on career readiness and community impact. Check juniornba.com to find out about other events they will be holding this year, including the Junior NBA Week going on October 9th through the 15th and the Junior NBA Global Championship for 13 to 14 year olds. The Junior NBA is offering incredible opportunities for young boys and girls to continue to develop their talents for the game of basketball. Again, you can go to juniornba.com, jrnba.com. Sports Illustrated for Kids spoke to Rangers defenseman Adam Fox, who talks Norris Trophy win and Stanley Cup dreams. This was an article that was done a few months ago. Well, no, a couple months ago. So they talked to him about his dreams and goals, and this is what it's about. A Norris Trophy winner, hometown hero, and one of hockey's brightest stars, New York Ranger Adam Fox is living the dream. After last season, his second in the NHL, Fox won the Norris Trophy, the award for the league's top defenseman. Now 24, he looks to continue his success and create an impact. With the Fox is thinking about a Stanley Cup. He talks about his plans and looks back at his journey. Sidekick reporter said, when you were younger, you wore the Rangers jersey as a fan. Now you sport it on the ice. What is that feeling like? Adam Fox says, it's awesome. Not many people get to play for the team they grew up rooting for. It's always special to be on the ice at Madison Square Garden, especially knowing that at one point I was a fan cheering on the team. Sidekick said, what are some of your hobbies outside of hockey? Adam says, I like to play Xbox, and in the summer, I enjoy playing golf. Sidekick said, what are three key ingredients to success on and off the ice? Adam says, for me, it's having a good work ethic, having fun with what you're doing, and being confident in yourself. Sidekick says, speaking of success, in only your second NHL season, you wrote your name on the history books by winning the Norris Trophy. What kind of work ethic and mentality did it take to win the award? Adam said, it takes a lot of hard work and effort, not just for myself, but for a lot of people who have helped me, my parents, coaches, teammates. It obviously takes a lot of hard work, but it takes a lot of help to get you there. Sidekick, who was your favorite Ranger growing up? Adam says, my two favorites were Jaromir Jagr and Henrik Lundqvist. Sidekick, what is the best memory you have from playing hockey as a child? Adam says, my best memories were going to hockey tournaments. It wasn't just on the ice, but it was off the ice stuff, like mini sticks at the hotel. Those are some of the best memories I made. Sidekick, what is your favorite thing about New York? Adam says, it has everything. There are so many people from so many different backgrounds, and you can get whatever you want in New York. It's a special place. Sidekick, in 10 years, what do you hope to accomplish on and off the ice? Adam says, hockey-wise, I want to win a Stanley Cup. Growing up, I never got to see a Stanley Cup, as I wasn't born yet when the Rangers won it in 1994. Being able to bring one to New York as a player would be special. Off the ice, just trying to be a good person and help out others. I'm fortunate to be in this position, so giving back and helping people is important for me. Sidekick, what message would you like to send to young aspiring hockey players? Adam says, have fun. Enjoy playing. The friendships you make along the way are some of the most and best you'll ever have. Let's go over some Adam Fox stats. Adam was born February 17, 1998, in Jericho, New Jersey. His height is 5'11", his weight 183 pounds. NHL draft 66 overall in 2016 with the Calgary Flames. His current team is New York Rangers. He's number 23, defenseman, of course. His education was Jericho High School, Pioneer High School. Adam became a key member of the organization when he made his NHL debut in the 2019-2020 year. He scored his first NHL goal October 29, 2019, against the Tampa Bay Lightning and finished his first season tied for fourth among NHL rookies with 42 points, 8 goals, 34 assists in 70 games. After averaging 18.54 of ice time in 70 games in 2019 to 2020, Fox earned a more prominent role in the following season, leading the Rangers with an average of 24.42 per game. He scored 47 points, 5 goals, 42 assists, second among NHL defensive men, and had a plus 19 rating in 55 games. As we said before, Fox was voted the winner of the Norris Trophy as the best defensive man in the NHL in 2020-2021, the first Rangers player to win it since Brian Leetch in 1996-1997. He is one of two defensemen to win the Norris Trophy in his second NHL season. The other is Bobby Orr. Selected by the Calgary Flames in the third round, number 66, as I said before, of the 2016 NHL draft, Fox continued his development at Harvard University, where he scored 116 points, 21 goals, 95 assists in 97 games. In 2018-2019, he was second among NCAA defensemen with 48 points, 9 goals, 33 assists in 33 games. He was named the Ivy League Player of the Year and was a finalist for the Hobby Baker Award as the top NCAA Division I men's ice hockey player. The Flames traded Fox's rights to the Carolina Hurricanes along with defenseman Dougie Hamilton and forward Michael Ferland for forward Elias Lindholm and defenseman Noah Hannafin on June 23, 2018. And the Hurricanes sent Fox's rights to the Rangers on April 30, 2019 for two draft picks. The Notes and Transitions, ECAC All-Rookie Team 2017, ECAC First All-Team 2017-2018-2019, NCAA East First All-American Team 2017-2018-2019, ECAC Player of the Year 2019, NHL First All-Star Team 2021, traded to Carolina by Calgary with Dougie Hamilton and Michael Ferland for Noah Hannafin and Elias Lindholm, June 23, 2018. Traded to New York Rangers by Carolina for New York Rangers, the second round pick in 2019 NHL draft and a conditional pick in 2020 NHL draft, April 30 of 2019. From hockey to baseball. We talked about Adam Fox. Now we're going to talk about Aaron Judge. How much should the Yankees pay Aaron Judge? The slugger is one of the most dominant players in the game, but only when he's healthy. August 13, 2016, Aaron James Judge, in his first big league at-bat, the Yankees rookie outfielder hit a home run. From that moment, it was just a matter of time until Judge became the next big thing in baseball. When the Yankees chose him in the first round of the 2013 MLB draft, many knew that he would be a star in no time. In 2017, the second-year player took the league by storm in what was his first full season in the MLB. He took home the American League Rookie of the Year honors, but it was also arguably the best rookie season in sports history. The team had a mediocre roster. However, thanks to Judge hitting a league-high 52 home runs, the team made the playoffs with 91 wins. Unfortunately, after defeating the Twins in the wild card game and the Indians in the ALDS, the Yankees fell short to the eventually champion Astros in the ALCS. Since then, Judge has been one of baseball's top 10 to 12 players every year. However, his inability to stay healthy in recent years has raised some concern about whether or not he is worth as much money as the Judge is asking to receive. There are 162 games in baseball season. In 2018, Judge played just 112 out of them, meaning he missed nearly a third. In 2019, he played only 102 games. In a COVID-19 shortened 2020 season, Judge played in less than half of the team's games. Though Judge has performed at an elite level while on the field, is that enough for him to deserve the massive contract he is asking for? 2 months into his sixth season in the league, Judge has hit 179 home runs. That's an average of around 30 a season and is even more impressive when you factor in all the games he didn't play in. Before the 2022 season, contract talks between the Yankees and Judge were heating up, Yankees general manager Brian Cashman offered the star outfielder a contract that would pay Judge $30.5 million a year for 7 years. In my opinion, and this is from Spencer Broad, that seemed to be a pretty fair contract for Judge. However, Judge demanded more and contract talks are still going on. So far this season, Judge is leading the majors in home runs with 18. The Yankees currently have the best record in baseball at 46-16, but most of their success wouldn't happen without Judge, as the bottom of their order is in a funk. Joey Gallo is hitting just .186 on the season, and catcher Kyle Higashioka has been even worse, hitting .177. Since the bottom half of the team's order is struggling, the top of the order needs to come through, led by Judge. In the thick of contract talks, Judge Camp has been asking for a 10-year, $360 million contract. That's a bit much, in my opinion, because of his glaring health issues. And then this comes from Spencer Broad, who wrote the article. Players receiving over $300 million in their contracts include Mookie Betts, Mike Trout, and Fernando Tatis Jr. Do I think Judge is on the same level as them? No, but he is pretty close. I would give Judge an 8-year, $256 million contract. If he keeps up the pace he is playing at for the rest of the year, he will deserve more. Of course, the deal would still be a ton of money, but it's a reasonable amount that Judge deserves. And this article was from June 16th. In more recent news about Aaron Judge, he blasts Grand Slam for 30 home runs of the season. He leads Major League Baseball in home run this season. Aaron Judge's 30th home run of the season was grand. The Yankee slugger disseminated a Grand Slam in the eighth inning against Pirates on Wednesday night, which was July 6th. And a no-doubter to left field off ex-Yankees reliever Manny Buenas. Judge's majestic blast soared 419 feet, leaving his bat at 114.7 miles per hour. Another look at the effortless swing from Judge, who led the league in homers. Philadelphia's Kyle Schwarber is second with 27 of the season. Leading up to Wednesday night in Pittsburgh, Judge was struggling. The outfielder was hitting 128, 227, 308 over his last 11 games, going 5 for 38 with two homers in that span. He didn't mess around against the Pirates, though. Judge broke through with a 3-for-4 night, his fifth game this year with at least three hits. Even after that rough patch, Judge is batting .287, .366, .627 this season with 65 runs scored and 64 RBI, leading the way in the American League Most Valuable Player race at the midway point of the season. Judge made some history with his 30th homer of the year as well, making this his third season with 30 plus home runs in his Yankee career. The 30-year-old is now the first player in Yankee history with two 30 home run seasons before the All-Star break, according to Yes Network. Judge has 30 long balls before the All-Star game in 2017, finishing that memorable season with 52 big files. And after that amazing thing that he did on July 6th, news came out the next day that Aaron Judge is out of starting lineup in series opener against Red Sox. Judge will be available off the bench and is expected to return to the starting lineup, which will be happening next Friday. Excuse me, this Friday. With the Yankees opening a four-game series against the Red Sox on Thursday night. New Yorkers' first trip to Fenway Park this season, it was a bit of a surprise to see Aaron Judge on the starting lineup. Yankees manager Aaron Boone revealed a few hours before first pitch that Judge is dealing with some lower body soreness, some normal wear and tear as New York approaches the All-Star break. Just the last couple of nights, he's been dealing with some tightness in his lower half, Boone said. Just felt like today was the day that we needed to have him down. Judge has been incredible all season long, producing MVP caliber numbers while playing almost every day, silencing any questions about his injury history and leading the best club in the league. On Wednesday night, during a 16-0 shell baking against the Pirates, the slugger mashed his 30th home run of the season, breaking out the mini slump of grand fashion. Not something I'm overly concerned about, but more importantly, just want to be something we get out ahead of and make sure that it doesn't run into something big, Boone added. He's able to navigate through these last couple of days, but especially getting in as late as they did on Wednesday is just something that they wanted to make sure that they did not mess around with. Boone specified that Judge is feeling heaviness and tightness in his calves. He doesn't think this is connected to the outfielder's increasing playtime in center field, but they're still going to look out for him to make sure everything is okay. And again, over 80 games this season, Judge is hitting .287, .366, .627 with 30 homers, 64 RBI, 65 runs scored, and 3.6 BWAR. His 30 big fouls are the most in Major League Baseball history. And one baseball great to another, honoring a legend, TFK Kid reporter. This year marks the 75th anniversary of Jackie Robinson's historic debut in Major League Baseball. They have a story about him that was done by Zamara Byers, 9. She writes about a recent school project in which he learned about Robinson's legacy. He says, I'm in the third grade at American Dreamer STEM Academy in Decatur, Illinois. My class recently staged a living history museum to celebrate Black History Month. I chose to portray Jackie Robinson because I love baseball. A school volunteer helped me get my outfit together, a baseball cap, jersey, and pants. I borrowed a bat and glove. The bat was similar to one Robinson used. I was a little nervous to portray Robinson at first. Then I remember how brave he was, and that helped me. I learned that Jackie Robinson was one of 5 children. He was the first African-American to play modern Major League Baseball. He played for the Brooklyn Dodgers. I admire Robinson because he showed people that it's not your skin color that matters. It's how you play the game. And again, that was by 9-year-old Tamari Byers. And continuing with honoring a legend, Brian S. McGrath and Ellen Name wrote this. On April 15, 1947, Jackie Robinson became the first Black athlete to play modern Major League Baseball, MLB. Until then, most Black players were restricted to separate leagues. When Robinson took the field for the Brooklyn Dodgers in New York City, he broke professional baseball's color line. The term refers to the social and legal barriers that denied equal rights to Black people in the United States. Robinson was taking a big step, not just in the history of sports, but in the history of American civil rights. Every year on April 15th, MLB honors his legacy. He represents all of us, says Francisco Lindor of the New York Mets, not just the Black community, but the Hispanic community, the Asian community, everybody. He opened the doors for all of us. Team player Robinson posed with fellow members of the Brooklyn Dodgers in 1947 for a historical time. He was the first athlete to play in the modern MLB. He was the true natural. Jack Roosevelt Robinson was born in Cairo, Georgia on January 31st, 1919. He was also good at sports At the University of California, Los Angeles, he was a star on the basketball, football, and track teams. After college, he started his athletic career in football. In 1941, he played for integrated teams in Hawaii and later in Los Angeles. On the ball in college, but baseball called. In 1945, Robinson joined the Kansas City Monarchs, a black team. He was a league all-star. That's how the Dodgers discovered him. He was an instant MLB success. In 1947, he was named Rookie of the Year. 2 years later, he was Most Valuable Player. He retired from baseball in 1957 and was elected to the Baseball Hall of Fame in 1962. Robinson's contribution to civil rights didn't end with baseball. In 1957, he became a vice president at Chock Full of Nuts, a major coffee company. He used his position to improve working conditions. He joined the NAACP, a civil rights organization, and he worked with Martin Luther King Jr. on integrating schools. He frequently took part in marches, and in the 1970s, he helped build low-income housing. This year is the 75th anniversary of Robinson's first major league game. Over the years, he has been a role model to many people. Jackie Robinson made my success possible, King said in 1968. Without him, I would never have been able to do what I did. And for the next couple weeks, we're going to be discussing some indigenous sports people in history that have done some great, wonderful things, just like Jackie Robinson, moments that made indigenous and Australian sporting history. To celebrate that, we're going to be looking at 50 sporting firsts achieved by athletes through history. We're not going to get through them today, but we'll get through them in the next couple weeks. These history-making indigenous sporting moments include Kathy Freeman becoming the first track athlete to win Commonwealth gold in 1990, and Lance Buddy Franklin becoming the first AFL player to kick 100 goals in a season, a feat that has not yet been repeated by any player since. The sports will have the historic achievements to table every day for the remainder of that. We're going to go and talk about a little bit more people who have made great history. First AFL 100 goal kicker, Lance Franklin, Hawthorne versus Carlton, Docklands, August 30th, 2008. At just 21, Buddy produced an extraordinary season when he booted 113 goals and 88 points, prompting the great Lee Matthews to describe him as being from another planet. No player has gone near 100 goals in a season since, highlighting the significance of the then Hawthorne superstar season. First track athlete to win Commonwealth gold, Kathy Freeman, Auckland, 1990. The daughter of Cecilia Kuku Yalinja and Norman Buru Guba people, Freeman may well be Australia's finest indigenous athlete, having won Olympic, World Championships, and Commonwealth gold. It all began as a 16-year-old at the 1990 Auckland Commonwealth Games, where she won gold as part of the 4x100-meter relay team. Unfortunately, we've run out of time for this edition of Sports Illustrated for Kids. Join us next week for more on those great, fabulous history makers that we'll be talking to and talking about. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. The broadcast is available on our website at ncreadingservice.org. I'm Shadate Hargett Hill, your hometown girl, for North Carolina Reading Service. And this was Sports Illustrated for Kids. See you next time on the radio.